my Savior, call me friend. I'd like to know my life is pleasing Him. That's why I'm going to love Him. That's why I'm going to serve Him. That's why I'm going to trust Him till the end. Oh, I've been on the mountain and I've been in the valley, but never have I been there all alone. Oh, my blessed Lord's beside me. He's there to keep and guide me. And now I'm walking with Him on this highway home. If I can have this world and all it holds, only He can give you peace down in your soul. Oh, it takes a man like Jesus. It takes the truth to keep us. And it takes the Holy Ghost to make us whole. Thank you. have this world and all it holds. Only he can give you peace down in your soul. Oh, yes, it takes a man like Jesus. It takes the truth to keep us.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. All right. There's a utility knife up here. Has Husky on it. Somebody left it up here. Is it yours, Brother Painter, by chance? Oh, Brother Matthew. All right. It's the first time I got him on a toy. Hallelujah. Appreciate the Lord and appreciate hearing these testimonies too. It means something when you share your testimony with us. You overcome by the word of your testimony, but your testimony relates to us because you're part of us. We're all part of one another. And we can't be a part of your life if you don't let us in. If you don't open up and let us in. So I appreciate that. And like to know what the Lord's doing in people's lives. I know when I came among these people, I knew this was different. I didn't know how different it was, but I knew it was different. But when they began to explain to me that the Lord is restoring His church and that God called this body of people, I began to see how they told me about a man by the name of William Souders and how God began to deal with him and give him the term body of Christ. Brother Jerry York said, I talk about the body. Well, I do, because when I came, it's been back in the 70s when I came among this, but nobody out in religion was using the term body of Christ at that time. I know. I searched it out. I went through all the charismatic realm. I listened. I was searching. I was hunting for something. God stirred my heart up, and I was hungry for more. I was a young preacher called of God, but I wasn't satisfied. I just felt like there had to be more. You cannot even know to search for any more. You can just, I didn't know I was really looking for more, but I knew that what I had wasn't fulfilling enough. There had to be more to God than what I knew about. And when I met this people and they told me that Brother Souders, that God called him to preach, he said, God said, spoke in an audible voice, I've called you to preach my gospel. And the "my" stood out to him. And God started revealing things to him, and it was, he found out it was unorthodox to the way other men in religion. Of course, he came in among Pentecostal people during the turn of the century, in the early 1900s. So he, God was moving, and the Pentecostal era had started. God was in that, restoring his church. So the Lord began to deal with him about that. He didn't know what God was dealing with him about. He really wasn't even well versed in religion. He was really in the world. God delivered him out of the world, and sometimes God has to do that, deal with somebody that's mind's not already fixed. He's got an open mind to work with. And God began to show him in the Bible all these terms concerning the body. And of course, he got it. He saw that the body of Christ in the New Testament church was called the body. Jesus was called the head of the body. And it was called the body of Christ, which is the church. And that Christ was the head of it. Well, he just was simple enough to see that it's just like a human body. It was all together. He saw that the church was all connected. Now, don't turn me off right now. I'm saying the most important things you'll probably ever hear. If you get a vision of what God's doing, you'll have to hear this. That he saw that church back there was connected. All the apostles was connected to each other. They all preached the exact same thing. And everybody in the whole New Testament church was connected to those 12 apostles, and they taught the same thing. And even though the church branched out and thousands of people came in it, all of that ministry was connected to the same 12 apostles. And it was all one. They were one in God. Jesus prayed that on the 17th chapter of St. John. He said, Father, make them one, even as you and I are one. And so, and when I came among this, they told me, we've got to have a church just like this New Testament church, and it's got to be connected. It's got to be fitted together like a body. All of this out here in religion, all of these Christian organizations are separated and divided. Brother, that opened my eyes. I saw something in that. I saw that there was no way that all of Christianity in America was connected like the New Testament church. They said, don't you see that God's going to have to get all his people out of all of that? because it's structured wrong. The government of it's wrong. The order of it's wrong. It's not biblical. God's going to gather His people out of all that into one body. Brother Souder's got that revelation and begin to preach it. And then God began to reveal truths that had never been revealed since a church fell away in the end of the Jewish world. That there's truths that unlock, there's keys that unlock the truth of the Word of God. And it'll unlock your understanding, but it takes God to give you the revelation. And when they begin to talk to me about these things, my mind opened up. I saw it. And they said, this people right here, this is not just a church, there's hundreds of churches like this. And we're all connected. And all these preachers in it have all come out of all sorts of different religious eras. Everything, we've got men in here that was from the Catholic priesthood. We got men in here from the oneness side and the Trinitarian side. We've got men in here from all phases of Christianity, and we've even got some atheists, or what used to be atheists in here. God's gathering people out of everything, putting them together in one body. And He's unifying us. He's uniting us together. He's making us one. A ministry. That's why we meet every month or two. We meet. And they showed me all kinds of scriptures. Showed me how we've got to thrash out the Word of God. That the temple was built on Arna's threshing floor. That the wheat has to be separated from the chaff. And the Word of God has got to be separated from false ideology, men's minds, even mine and yours. We got to get rid of everything that's not right. And God's working on that. But God's got to have a people that's got a mind to work with that. And the Lord's got to put it in your mind to understand what He's working on. We're not working like the rest of religion. We're not just trying to get everybody in here and get them to repent of their sins. We're trying to see there's got to be a church. There's got to be a garner. There's got to be something to gather God's people. And we're not going to do anything any more than what they're doing out there if we don't have a vision and don't build something that will really establish people in truth and understanding of what God's doing, what He's going to do, how He's going to do it, when He's going to do it, what He's doing right now. There's answers to those questions. We need to understand how that New Testament church operated. We've got to begin to work like that. They showed me how these men for nearly 100 years now have been studying on this, laboring and seeking God, and trying to locate how to work with Jesus, how to do His will, and what God's is wanting right now. What truths has He established? How to build a church in the truth? How to build a church in the body of Christ? I was reading those scriptures this morning. Wisdom's builded her house. Well, wisdom hadn't built her house in the end of the Gentile world yet. It's not yet built. We're just gathering material. We don't have the temple built yet. In a little while, the temple of God's going to get built, And God's going to open up heaven again. There's going to be a way to get back into third heaven. A lot of people have a lot of funny ideas that aren't biblical. But there's God has a way for us to go to heaven. He's got a way. They taught me perfection. They said, Brother Smith, you got to be perfect to go to heaven. You can't go to heaven like you are. I said, well, I'm a man of God. I'm called to preach. I've been preaching for years. They said, maybe you are, but you ain't good enough to go to heaven. Do you know God had me ready for that message? I received that. I knew they was telling the truth. When I heard the message of perfection, I thought, I knew it all the time. I thought, I knew you can't go to heaven in the shape I'm in, having a spirit like I've got, get mad and blow up and just call yourself a man of God, but you got all kind of evil going on in your heart, in your mind, and like Brother D'Angelo said, you get bitter, mad at God. What would heaven be if I... And then I heard them keep saying things like this. They said, God, just take this little room right here, this little crowd right here to heaven. Said, Dad, while that'd be hell, break out on the streets of glory before tomorrow morning. Said, somebody'd get mad at somebody. Somebody would lose their spirit. Said, what would heaven be in a condition like that? I never stopped to think about those things. They said, we'd have the same thing in heaven we've got right here. Well, I stopped and thought about that. I've asked some people, I said, what's going to change you? If you think you died tonight and you was going to go to heaven, what do you think would change you to make you fix you up where you'd quit thinking like you're thinking? Or make you quit sinning like you sin? Having all the thoughts you've got and do the little things that you know you do that you ought not be doing. They might sneak up on you, but you still do them. You know, you think, I wish I hadn't done that. You know, you ever done that? Have you ever just been, the things going along pretty good? Maybe something kind of got you all nervous. You ever been working on a project and you got all nervous? Got tied up in knots, and then somebody just happened at the right time, at the right moment, just said the wrong thing, and you just lost it. And you thought, I don't know what Sister Karen's laughing about back there, but she evidently knows what I'm talking about. I don't know if it's either her or Curtis has done that. One of them has messed up at least once. But they'll never tell it. You won't know which one it was. And I've just got a feeling that maybe both of them did that once or twice. They both look guilty anyway. Anyhow, well, you know, you say, well, God's going to fix me. I've asked people, what's going to change you? Well, God's going to change me. I said, well, what's he going to do to you? I don't know, but he's going to fix me where I'll never sin again. I said, why didn't he just fix you that way to start off with? Why didn't he just fix all man like that? What are we doing here? What's this all about? I said, if God just fixes you, you ain't going to be you. I've thought about this, folks. I've thought about it. I've told God, I don't want you fixing me just like that. I don't want you just changing everything in my mind where I won't even know who I am. If God has to change my mind where I don't think like, I want to still know who I am. I want to still think with my mind. I began to realize how that works is right down here. There's a transforming of your mind. There's a renewing of your mind. You got to learn to think like Jesus. So when they said, you got to be perfect, I said, my God, what happens if I don't make perfect? What if I die before I get there? They said, that's all right. You'll come up in the resurrection. I said, what resurrection? I said, I know there's a resurrection, but I want to be, if I got to go to heaven, if I got to be perfect, go to heaven. Well, if I come up in the resurrection and I'm not ready, where am I going? They said, you're not going anywhere. You're going to stay right here and get it right. I said, what? They showed me the scriptures. They showed me in Matthew 27:52, the saints, when Jesus resurrected, and after his resurrection, many of the saints that were in the grave, put that up there for me, Matthew 27:52, many of the saints which slept came out of the graves after his resurrection and were seen and went into the city. Let's look at that, because some people think it says they went into heaven. So that the graves were open, and many of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves, everybody looking at it, after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared to many. Here, dead people resurrected out of the grave. They didn't go to heaven. They went into this holy city, Jerusalem, and people saw them. A lot of people saw them. I said, well, who was this group of people? How come I've read this Bible a bunch of times and never seen this scripture? They said, well, people read it and don't see it. I said, what did they go into the city for? Well, they took me over to the 11th chapter of Hebrews and showed me that they, without us, could not be made perfect. Look at that. Put that up there. Hebrews 6, about 38 or 9. Something like that. 40 maybe. We can read from there down. But it just showed that those Old Testament worthies that were asleep in the grave, you couldn't go to heaven under the Old Covenant. There wasn't any way to make it under the Old Covenant. A lot of people don't stop and think about these things, but this ministry has studied that out. God's revealed it. Those are truths. Said, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is a message on faith. God's showing how Abel, by faith, what Abel did, Enoch, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, and he goes on down. Finally said, there's not enough room for me to write about all of them, those people. But he ends it up by saying, they all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. What promise? The promise of the Holy Ghost, to be born again of the nature of God. But having provided some better thing for us. Talking about the early church, though Paul was saying that about them, that ministry back there, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. They couldn't be made perfect without us. In other words, it took them resurrecting. I mean, you have to think about this. You have to think that right there in the early church, Abraham, Abel. Wonder who met Abel. Wonder who got to talk to him. He said, my Lord, Brother Smith, I've never even heard of this. Well, hang around, you'll hear some more. But you got to think about it. Everybody in this room, if you believe in Jesus, you believe in the resurrection of the dead. You know, you just never have thought about it long. You hadn't put the scriptures together on it. Thank God the Lord's put it together, and we begin to see it, that there was a people that came up out of the grave. What do you think happened to Lazarus? He was dead for 4 days. What's the difference in being dead 4 days or 1,000 years? What's the difference? You're dead, you're dead. Of course, 4 days ago, if I was dead, I'd come up and see all my old friends and my family, and things is pretty normal. If it's 1,000 years, I'm going to have to kind of figure things out. It must have been an angel or somebody. Paul said later that Jesus was seen above 500. 500 had seen Jesus after he resurrected. No doubt some of those people were there that resurrected. You remember what Job said? Job said, though the skin worms eat my flesh, yet in my flesh, not in an angelic body, not after I'm caught up into heaven, but in my flesh will I see God. And he said, in the morning my change will come. In other words, in the resurrection, he had faith that God would resurrect him. He may not have understood how it was going to work, but he had faith for that. Well, you wonder, how did they get along in that? You know, but the Lord had a way to to work that and resurrect Old Testament worthies. In Malachi, the third chapter. I sure didn't get up here to talk on this, but since I'm talking on it, we'll... Malachi 3. Maybe it's about verse 11, somewhere in there. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord heard it. You find that verse, there it is, 16. Then they that feared the Lord, this is talking about those people back there. They spake to one another often, and the Lord hearkened, and he heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. That's what we're doing here tonight. Y'all testifying, we're speaking often to one another, singing songs to one another, and the Lord sees that. He sees we're feared God. That's why we're here. We're presenting ourselves before the Lord. In Job's day, it said the sons of God came up before the Lord, and Satan came with them. I don't know if Satan is in here tonight. But he might be. There may be somebody in here that, you know, don't, you know, we're not all in, have the right spirit yet. But they were coming up before God. We're coming up before God in here. And Malachi 3:16 said that the Lord hearkened, and he said he wrote a book of remembrance before them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name, in the next verse, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord. Now, God wrote a book of remembrance. Now, get this in your mind. There's no real book. God don't need a book. Its pages would already got old by now. You know, I don't know what kind of ink you'd had to wrote it in before it had faded off the pages by now. But it just means God recorded it. God remembered it. There's a book of life. There's a book of remembrance. They told me, if you die, and you'll go down in the book of remembrance. And he said, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I'll spare them, he said, they'll be mine in that day when I make up my jewels, and I'll spare them as a man spares his own son that serveth him. Well, God was making up his jewels. In the end of the Jewish world, he was making up bride members. If you know the Bible, you know that there's jewels. That typifies, you know, for you to be a jewel. How many of y'all heard that song? I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm going to be a diamond someday. Well, there's some truth to that. Every one of us come out of the rough, didn't we? I'll tell you right now, I didn't come. When God found me, I wasn't a glistening diamond. I wasn't a beautiful, shiny piece of gold or a ruby or anything like that. But he got me out of the rough, and he had to put me through a process. He's still putting me through a process. But I've got hope tonight. I thank God for hope. Faith has put hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I've got a substance to my faith. It's hope. I've got a hope. What's your hope? Mine's perfection. Mine's eternal life. And I found out it don't just come. You know, you don't just do the best you can do. But you have to overcome this old Adamic nature. You've got to be perfected in Him. It takes God time to do that in somebody's life. And so, when I began to hear these things, I thought, dear God, I never will forget when I got a revelation of enough of this that I was really getting it. I never will forget, I went to the Houston General Meeting, and this really clicked in my mind, and I was really receiving it. We went out to Denny's that night, And I got to sitting there and I got to thinking about who I could tell this to. You know, tell them about hell and the devil and perfection and resurrections. And I thought, and I got tickled. I got sitting there at the table and I got so tickled the Spirit got on me and I got down and I sliding under my seat and they was trying to, you know, keep me from making such a scene. I was getting so blessed. And what it was going on in my mind was, is this is a secret that you can't tell. That's what I got tickled. I thought, I know something that you can't tell anybody. Because they won't hear you. If God don't touch them, they can't get this. They'll think you're crazy. Oh, God. But they put the scriptures together. And somehow God helped me receive it and see it. And it made more sense than anything I'd ever heard in my life. Or, you know, once God opens up one, if God ever touches your brain and you get it, you get your mind open to this, you'll have 1,000 questions. You'll think, well, what about this? And then they'll answer that question. Then you'll say, well, how about this? Well, they'll answer that question. Well, how about this? You'll go away satisfied. And before long, you'll be tossed in your bed. You'll say, oh, God, what about this? I need the answer on this. I never will forget. I drove hundreds of miles just to find out. I called people on the phone. I said, man, tell me about this. They had the answers. That's, you know, in the Dominican Republic, I still get tickled at them. They call me a man that could tell them everything about the Bible. You know, well, it wasn't true that I can tell everything about the Bible, but I could tell them everything they didn't know. It seemed like everything to them. When they began to ask questions, I started teaching them stuff. God touched their mind. They'd say, well, wait a minute. They'd think they had me. They'd ask that jawbreaker question. I'd say, well, that's the answer to that. Here's the answer to that. One man told me, he said, look, in 20 minutes, you sat here and tore down and destroyed everything. It took me 20 years to learn. He said, I can't just give up 20 years for 20 minutes. I said, if it's 20 years for lies, for one 20 minute of truth, sound like to me you made a bargain. He said, well, I just hate to give up all that work I've done all them years it took me to get this. I said, you ain't got nothing. I just tore it all to pieces. Oh, he shook his head. Men scratched their head. They got up and walked around. They didn't know what to do. I saw men standing outside. I asked them, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with this message? You know, I had men ask me questions. They said, am I in Babylon? I want to know if I'm hearing you right. Am I in Babylon? I said, you're in Babylon. You need to get out of it. Oh, God. Another one jump up, take out his credentials and throw them on the ground, stomp on them, take off running. Said, I'm getting out of Babylon. Oh, Lord, God was touching their hearts and their minds. They was getting revelation. And you have to ask God, open your ears. Open my ears, Lord. Touch my ears. Brother Leninger wrote that song. Touch my eyes, Lord, that I might see the wonders of your love. Touch my ears, Lord, that I might hear the voice of the one I love. Come in my heart, Lord, that I might feel the peace and the joy that I need. Yeah. Keep me on my knees with a humble plea for a closer walk with Thee. He told me one time, he said, I want to write verses to that. He never did get to. Oh, but the course blessed us. God, touch my eyes. Let me see. Let me hear. Now I can go to bed at night. I'm not worried about it. Not making perfection. I know I'm not perfect yet. When I get there, I'm going to tell y'all, okay? I'm going to do like Paul. I'm going to say, hey, I've made it!
I've kept the fight. I've kept the faith, and I've fought a good fight. Hallelujah! And there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Whew. I'll tell you now, I know in the book of Philippians, he said, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Don't count yourself to have made it. But he did kind of slip it in on Timothy. Just let him know, I fought a good fight, and I kept, how did he say it? I finished my course. That's what he said. I finished. Peter slipped it in too. He said, I must shortly put off this tabernacle as the Lord has showed me. The Lord showed me. I'm going to put off this tabernacle. And he wasn't talking about dying. He just talking about putting on another one. He's going to get him a new body. John said, now, beloved, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we might be called the sons of God? And he said, and we know not what we shall be, but when he appears, we shall be like him. Look, Jesus just appearing. He appeared to people before. Put that back up there if you would. I might work on that a little bit more. He said, Jesus appearing. He appeared to people before, and it didn't make them like him. That's not the appearing John was talking about. He was saying, when he appears in your life, when he's fully come in you, when you finally, he's finished his work in you, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What's the next verse say? And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. And so to have a body, a glorified body, like unto his body, to get that, that's going to take a process. God's working in us. But I can go to bed tonight and go to sleep and know that if I die before I wake, I'll lay me down to sleep, Brother Daniels. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, well, I know that I'll come up in the resurrection. I'll go down in the book of remembrance. And when he gets ready to make up his jewels, that is, if I fear God, I'm just. If I really fear God, if I'm really dedicated, doing all I know to do, then I'll come up in the resurrection of the just to make the bride. But if I'm not just, then I won't come up until the final resurrection at the end of the 1,000 years. There's another resurrection over there. After the 1,000 years. He's talking about the bride when he said, blessed are they that have part in the first resurrection. On such, second death has no power. Well, that's the group I want to get in. I want to finally get to where second death has no power. But the rest of the dead, he said, live not again till the 1,000 years be finished. Put that up there, Brother Caleb. That's in Revelation 20, probably about 12 or somewhere along in there. I'm just kind of guessing, but so it's probably not that far. It's probably about 7, something like that, where he said, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy, 6, are they that have part in the first resurrection. There it is. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, second death has no power. You see, right now, second death's got power in all our lives. What second death is right now, we've all been dead in the trespasses of sins, first death. You can die first death. Just because you die, that don't eliminate you. See, God knows you who you are. Just because you're in the first death. Now, you can be dead in the trespasses of sins. You can die in the trespasses of sins. Or you can die just. But second death is, that's a final death. Twice. Don't go to it, but I'll just tell y'all to go read it. The book of Jude is just one little chapter. And he said that he's naming some people that weren't a part of the church anymore. He said they're clouds without water. They're raging waves like the sea. He said they're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You can be twice dead. God, let me just tell you something. When God plucks you up by the roots, you ain't going to make it anymore. You get there ain't any roots. Now, Job said if a tree falls, so shall it lie. He said if you cut one down, he said, is there a chance of it to grow again? Well, there is. You ever seen a tree cut down? You ever seen another little shoot, another little sprig come up out of it, a little sapling come up right there? My daddy used to live on a farm. He used to tell us, okay, boys, let's go cut saplings. We'd take an axe with us and go down and start cutting them little old saplings. They'd grow, and boy, the next spring they'd be right back up and growing again. We didn't have a bush hog, so we didn't have all that fancy stuff, so we just went out down through there cutting saplings, you know. Otherwise, it'd grow up into a forest again. How many of y'all ever cut a sapling down? Y'all ever done that? Some of you farmers know what saplings are. Well, they'll grow back up again. But if you could get they're too the roots is too strong. If you could have pulled them up by the roots, you'd have never had any more trouble with them. But to be twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Second death is an eternal judgment. God doesn't eternally judge people, not His children. The ungodly are eternally judged, but God's children aren't judged until there's a judgment seat for them to be judged in. So God has a way of dealing with that. If you're just, He'll bring you up in the day that He makes up His jewels. But if you're not just, He'll bring you up. Where'd my scripture go? The one about in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. There it is. Okay, but they'll be priests of God. This first resurrection, they're going to be priests with God and of Christ and a reign with Him 1,000 years. There's the bride. Now the next verse. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. The next verse. And shall go out to deceive the nations, which are the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle. Number of whose is the sand of the sea. In the next verse. Let's see. Go on to the next one. Go on down. Okay, said, I saw a great white throne, them that sat on it, from whose faith and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. Go on. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. We've missed our scripture we didn't get the scripture some way. No, the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years be finished. Fifth verse. We passed it up, didn't we? I'm not going to talk on this long. I'm just kind of trying to stir up your minds. Verse 5 says, But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. He goes on in verse 6, saying, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. What he's seeing those that rule and reign with Christ, and that's the first resurrection. But the rest of the dead don't live again till the 1,000 years is over. And so the indication is there that second death does have power over them. You haven't reached a place, and I haven't reached a place where we couldn't be eternally judged until we're perfected. We got to go through a judgment seat. That's why the church needs to be fully restored. There needs to be enough truth in here that when you walk in the door, somebody get me that scripture in Corinthians. Is it in 2 Corinthians where it says, that they have come in and the Spirit of God will reveal, they'll fall down on their faces. Let's find that scripture just a second. I want to locate that. I'm having a hard time in my mind just getting how it says it. You really know what scripture I'm talking about? That it'll reveal what's in their heart and they'll fall down on their face. I want to show you what this restored church, how it's going to be. Let me get my concordance. First Corinthians, Yes, that's the one I'm wanting. He's showing here in the 14th chapter how the church operates. Let's start in the 23rd verse. It said, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned and are unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he's convinced of all, he's judged of all." He's just showing that when we come together in a meeting, really is what he was talking about, when the whole church came together, that if we just, no one was prophesying the word of God, they weren't prophesying there, doesn't mean to, you know, say, yea, yea, thus saith the Lord, but it means to expound on the word of God, you know, and tell, it's a telling forth of the things of God and the truths of the word of God. Verse 24, it says, "But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he's convinced of all, he's judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest." You see, when we begin to prophesy, we begin to talk about the things of God, an unlearned person can come in here and God will get us on their case. We won't know we're on it. But we'll begin to prophesy the word of God and telling forth of the things of God, and the secrets of people's hearts will be revealed. How many times have y'all heard people get up and say, "Y'all are talking to me"? That's the secrets of the hearts of man. And so falling down on his face, he'll worship God and report that God is in you of the truth. That's the kind of church God wants us to have, a church that's so connected to the Spirit when people come in that it begins that God begins to work on them and they know that you don't know them. But they're convinced that God is among you in such a way that they get so convicted they fall down on their face and start worshiping God, repenting of their sins. Well, God's working on that. He's working on a church that's equipped like that. And so I'm just giving you a little bit of, I'm throwing out a little strong meat here. If it hits you upside the head and, you know, and kind of, you know, stuns you, well, just be stunned. And but don't throw it away. Build you a little, somebody, they always taught me, they said, now look, build a little shelf in your mind, and the things that I'm telling you you can't handle right now, put them on the shelf. Said, in a little while, you may want to reach up there and get them and pull them back down, look at them again. In a little while, you may be able to see that in a different light than you're seeing it right now. So I did that. I built me a shelf. Sometimes people, even right now, ministers will try to tell me something. I'll say, I'll put that on the shelf. In other words, it's something I don't believe like that. I don't understand it. Two preachers walked up to me in the last meeting. One of them put his hand on my shoulder and put his hand on the other shoulder, and they said, you know, if we could get Brother Smith straightened out on the resurrections, said, I think he'd be just about all right. The other one looked at me, and he looked at him, and he said, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. And I said, no, it's not. But I said, it's not because I'm closed-minded. It's just because you, brethren, haven't had the answers. I've got questions. I said, I know how I teach it, but I've got questions on how you teach it. And I said, y'all hadn't answered my questions yet. Y'all get to where you can answer my questions and satisfy me that you've got this figured out better than I have, I'll change. But I said, right now, you don't have the answers. And I said, so I'm going to hold on to what I got. If what you're saying doesn't make as much sense, I'm holding on to it. If you say something that makes better sense, I'll let it go. See, I've already gave y'all a bunch of scriptures here tonight. You might say, well, I don't understand. I never heard that before, Brother Smith. You never heard anybody talk on them scriptures I gave you either. See, because they can't handle them scriptures. But I'm giving you the scriptures that you might have questions on. Showing you there's more than one resurrection. I'm showing you, you can't go to heaven in the condition you're in, but you can come up in a resurrection. You could come up in the first one. If you keep laboring, old Lazarus died. He's dead 4 days. 4 days later, he's back up walking again. And I think he was probably among the 120 on the day of Pentecost. I think he died, resurrected, and got the Holy Ghost. But I think Abel was there too. I think Abel, come up. Don't you know, I would have liked to have been there now. Said, Abel, tell me about this, boy. You know, your daddy, he was the first one. Woo! How'd you like to sit in the pew next to Abel and seen him get the Holy Ghost? And say, Abel, I know your brother killed you. What was it he offered up? Was it wheat or corn or what was it? Barley or was it beans or what kind of vegetables was it? What was it he done? Oh, he said, man, you should have been there. He said, it was the worst deal you ever seen. He said, it wasn't nothing but one old tater plant. I mean, but can you imagine? How he had to learn how to talk their language. Took him a while. You say, well, how's that going to work? All these people resurrecting these different languages. You see Joel, don't you? Come over here, don't understand a word of English. You've been here ain't just a few months. He's talking. He's understanding. I asked him the other day, I said, how much do you understand today of what I said? He said, I understood a lot of it. And he comes in asking me Bible questions, you know. But when it comes to just talking to you, he can't hardly put enough words together. You know, it'd take him forever. Me and him go down the road in a car talking to each other with our iPhones. We'll say one word, and the other don't know what that means. So we look it up, get the translation of it. Say, here's that word. Here's what it means. You know, when you're trying to tell him to drive a car, you don't know how to say drive. You can say go in the car, you can say that, but you can say, I want you to drive. I said, work this vehicle. I knew how to say that. He said, manejar. I said, what? He said, manejar. I said, mani what? Manejar. I said, what's that? He said, worked the vehicle. So I looked up drive in Spanish in the dictionary. It said, manejar, drive. I said, oh, I got it. I said, Joel, usted manejar. Okay, he said. He got over there to drive. You know, before I told him to work the vehicle, he said, work on it where? What do you want me to do to it? So, but you get it. You get it. You speak the same language in a little while. It don't take that long to get it, especially if the Spirit of God touch you. Besides all that, on the day of Pentecost, don't you know how much power God was there? There was 13 different dispersions of the Jews, and they all spoke different dialects and different languages. They grew up in all different parts of Rome. They began to speak in tongues, and people was listening to them that was there for the Passover from the same country, and they said, how can that Jew, how are they speaking my language? Well, the gift of tongues. That's something you hadn't heard much about, the gift of tongues. I found out how that works, Sister Smith. Just speaking in tongues, just like she always does, she thought. But those people in the Dominican Republic said, she spoke to me in clear Spanish. I understood every word. God talked to me. And so I saw that work several times. Well, don't you know if God brings you up, if He can resurrect you out of about 3,000 or 4,000 years of death, He can give somebody a message to help you talk, understand what you're saying. And He can give you the Holy Ghost, and you can say, boy, I understood everything you said. Why can't you talk it now? Well, you know, the Lord has to maybe work on it a little while, but it won't take very long. You can adapt. There's been plenty of people from foreign countries come over here. They couldn't speak English, and they learned in a short time. When I was 19 years old, I got out of high school and went to work on a Humble Oil Company, but I was working for a private company that was under contract with them. And they hired me. I finally worked my way up to a sandblaster. And they hired me a helper. He was a Mexican. Couldn't say hello in English. Nothing.